The Difference Between You and Me by Celia Hayes and read by Colleen Prendergast for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Hot Air Balloon on the Thames. If the worst comes to the worst, I can always use the curtains. That's what Scarlett O'Hara did. But you haven't got curtains. You've got Venetian blinds. I know, but they're such a lovely peach colour. Wonderful, wonderful, my little girl. I think it needs taking in a bit more on the sides. There, that's it. Where? No, that's the way it's supposed to be. We'll pin it up with a couple of rhinestones and it'll be fine. Ashley, bring me the pincushion. The flower on the waist is too big. I still prefer the other one. Oh, don't be silly. There, see? All it took was a couple of stitches. When could you have it ready for? A couple of days at the outside. What a bizarre scene. They're circling me like hungry sharks, and there I am in the middle, wrapped up in layers and layers of white satin and unable to do anything to stop them. Are you sure you can't get it done for Wednesday? Oh, for God's sake. The smell of plastic and air freshener is suffocating me, and they are poking at me and prodding me all the time, the whole lot of them. There's a headache rising up through my cranium and developing into cloudy outcrops between my left temple and the pins holding the headpiece in place. I'm hanging in there for the moment, but if things carry on like this, I can't promise there won't be a sudden explosion of some rather picturesque language. One more second. Trudy, dear, do try to keep still. Yanked about by the dressmaker, grabbed at by his assistant, I cast my eyes over the flock of women surrounding me with an expression somewhere between resignation and dejection. Sublime! A perfect cut! It fits beautifully! That was Aunt Molly. She's been 59 years old for at least the last 20 years. Proud exponent of Botox, black leather trousers and back-combed platinum blonde hair, she seems extremely happy with the hot air balloon over the Thames look I'm currently trying not to suffocate inside. My mother, Faustine, stands beside her. Poor Mum. She's been weeping non-stop since we got in the car. I think I've tried on at least 6 different dresses, and the reaction to each has been the same. Red eyes, hands clutched to her breast, her voice breaking with emotion, and with one unspeakable truth clearly etched upon her heavily blushed face. Which truth is that, you ask? It's, well, at least I got one of them married off. Not really what you would expect from the person who brought you into the world, I know, but I don't take it personally. No, I've decided not to give a monkey's. To be honest, I understand how she feels. 3 daughters, of whom one is a lesbian and one is as avowedly against marriage as she is against the church and the government. I'm the thread Mum clings onto, so as not to plunge into the sad abyss of Christmases alone, eating ready meals. If I let her down, there'll be no armies of sulky grandchildren in the living room to remind her that the worst has been over for at least 10 years, and she'll never have a son-in-law upon whom to vent all her festering anger against the male sex. And what about if we tried the first one on again? That was my future mother-in-law's sister, Violet. A graceful walrus pup, clad in sky blue and wearing a pair of ballerinas, she wanders around the room with the expression of an experienced critic, avidly scanning every stitch we have the nerve to show her. Thanks to her, over the years I have formed a very personal and indelible idea of what hell, purgatory, and paradise are like. And guess which of the 3 I find myself in right now? My, how bright you all are. Now Marianne's dress, that really was beautiful, chips in Lisa, the ever-present mother of my prospective life partner, holding a pair of gloves against my shoulder to check they are the same colour as the bustier. Her words, pronounced casually, almost accidentally, actually hide a deep-seated dislike of me. She had hoped for something better.